Oh, I love that. I love that.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Feed Me Your Construction Content. I'm Carolyn McMahon.
And I am Joshua McMahon.
Is it getting old to introduce ourselves? I like it.
Nobody knows who we are. We're never... You have to constantly introduce yourself.
Even if I have it tattooed across my forehead.
They're not going to see it. There's no video. Oh. These are faces for radio only.
We do have voices for radio.
We definitely do. We're going to be professional status before long. I don't know what before long is, but one day.
Put the pro in professional.
Yes.
All right. So last week we talked about
upgrades. Yeah. And investing in your home and why it's such a valuable and smart decision to do.
I got to laugh, you know, when we were saying, you know, what's my favorite subject? And I don't know, are our listeners surprised to think it's not you?
Oh, your favorite subject?
Oh, yeah. My favorite subject is totally you.
That's a bunch of crap.
It's all about the dollars.
It is all about the dollars. Here's where we're going to set the stage for this episode. Carolyn's in production, semi-custom. I'm in custom. What's the age-old issue every one of us run into?
What's your budget?
What is your budget?
And why are people so afraid to talk about it?
Well, one, we're afraid to ask. Don't ask the budget question.
Why? Who set that precedence that you should not ask someone? Is it rude? Is it just not done?
I'm not sure where it comes from. And this is what's interesting for me in the custom world. Even the production world, your prices are listed. You already know what the price of the home is for the minimum standard that they offer.
Right.
So you already know what the price is. So you're already coming there with some knowledge. With the custom world, you have no idea what the price is. It's whatever you want it to be. And that's why I'm saying, why can't I just come out and say, hey, nice to meet you. I'm so-and-so. This is our builder. This is our reputation. This is who we are. We're going to design you a home. And in order to do that, I need to understand what your budget is.
Right. And that's not to do the exercise is, oh, he's going to give me a $2 million budget and I'm going to go spend it all. No, that's ridiculous to think that someone would do that.
Some builders might do that. And I think as you go through the process of interviewing and dating the builder, you understand if this is the builder for you or not.
Well, sure. I can imagine someone who would want to spend it on everything or say, great, you have a $2 million budget. I'm really going to outfit your home with some really nice features that enhance your life, you know, that are better for the environment, better for your, you know, what have you. But that's not always the case. And, you know, listen, sometimes if you're told a budget, it's not exactly accurate. It's not exactly true.
No, that's right. And one of the best podcasts I ever listened to was a architect out of the Northeast, Steve Basic, who said, if I go and design you a $2.4 million home, and at the end of the design, you say, good news, we found $200,000 in our back pocket. He says, oh, that's great. I need to start the design over because now I need to design you a $2.6 million house.
Right. It's not just adding better tile or adding, you know, another widget.
It's the home. Like the home that you're designing is what your budget is. And if it's a real design build builder and they're really good at what they do, bringing your vision to life. And if you don't know what your vision is, that builder is going to help you extract that vision, help you really see what are my priorities? What is it that I want to have in this house to make it a home? They're going to design the home for the budget that you want. Or they're going to say, your vision and your desires don't match your budget.
Right.
Something has to change. And a good builder will tell you that. The opposite of a good builder would be someone who says, yeah, we can do that. And then at the end, they just keep racking up your bills and charge you more money. You know, depending on what type of builder they are.
Right. Or not listening. Like, you know, if I give you a budget, my expected deliverable from you is that you deliver that on budget, at least on paper, right? Were you listening when I said that I had a $2.4 million budget? That's all in. That's with selections. That's with, you know, these minimal standard upgrades and things like that. Yeah. Then you come and, you know, build me a 2.6 and it's like, we never talked about this. I don't know about you, but an extra $200,000, while it may be easy to procure, I don't want to spend it.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's the trouble of it.
I mean, we, you know, as Josh mentions, we are you know, kind of a high end production builder, I would say, lots of customizations, but we, you know, we don't truly build like one of a kind, 100% custom homes. We may start with a plan and then say, hey, you can do anything you want to with it, but we start from somewhere.
Correct.
And we have kind of, you know, dipped our toe into to full custom, and we were designing a full custom home for a buyer. And, you know, there was some sort of agreement about design time, things like that. There was no budget. And for me, that's like completely red flag. Because come on, bullshit. Some you have a budget. You just don't want to tell anybody. Because again, those fears that we talked about earlier. But, you know, we go through this design process and we meet with them, you know, with their presentation, give them a number. And they're like, oh, well, our number is actually 1.5. And it's funny because of the things that they want and these things that they have to have. You know, they've just been to France. They see all these amazing things in this architecture and they want to duplicate it in their new home. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no one can deliver that. Good luck.
Not at 1.5 million.
No. And we're not talking about a small house, just like really unique features. And it's not that, you know, us outbidding it. You know what I mean? No builder could do that in the Richmond market. It's like, so, you know, come back when you, you know, either realign with what your 1.5 can build, or you adjust your expectations or come up with more money.
So it's a great lesson for the builder to go and design and put together a house that's well over a customer's budget, not having any idea what their budget is. Just assuming they have an unlimited budget.
Right. Because, well, I mean, no, Josh, you're not assuming. That's what they told you.
Yeah, but... Nobody has an unlimited budget. We're working with some clients, the builder I represent, that have more unlimited budgets, and they come in there and tell you this is our budget.
Right. There is a magic number somewhere.
Sure, because the market's going to tell you you have to have a budget or else you're just throwing your money away. Remember, it's an investment. Every house you build is an investment. So if you overinvest in your house, you're going to lose your investment.
Right.
Or you got to wait 40 years to see it come back, and nobody wants to do that. That's a long game that you're not interested in playing.
I mean, who hangs on to a house more than 2 years?
I think there are people who do that. I mean, crazy as that sounds.
I'm sorry, man. Like our home needs a new AC unit. We're moving.
It's like tires on a car. Right. The moment you need new tires, you got to get a new car. You don't replace the tires. That's stupid.
Unload that thing.
I'm feeling that way about the little BMW Z4. I'm like, we just had to put money into repairing it. It's clearly time to turn it in. We need a new one.
Time to upgrade.
If this podcast became a profit center, we could definitely do that. But since it's not, we'll hold on to it.
We'll hold on to our little beater. But it's fun. You got to do the drive with the top down last weekend.
Exactly right.
So
from the budget standpoint, it's important for the builder to start by saying, hey, what is your budget? What's your vision? Do these two things align? Because as we talked about going and getting estimates and free estimates and that stuff, we encourage you as a trade not to do free estimates. But if you're doing an estimate for a builder, you're doing it because you know there's a high likelihood that the builder's going to win the contract and that you are going to be doing the work. But if the builder hasn't done their due diligence and doesn't know what the price is up front, you haven't done your part. You've kind of done a disservice to the contractor. So we really need to make sure that we've got everything dialed in and we know what the expectations are very early, because look, 2 million to 1.5 million could be some really subtle changes. Red oak stairs versus white oak stairs, taking out the beams in the great room and taking out the beams in the master bedroom.
Well, right. And as a builder, your first response shouldn't be, oh, well, you know, I'm going to lose this contract if I don't just, you know, slash pricing, right? So keep everything that they've asked for, but you know what? I'm going to make less money, or I'm going to go beat up my sub trades. No, not beat up, influence.
That's right.
I'm going to influence my trades to do it for cheaper. And that never works.
It's not the right play. If you value your relationships, you have to think about their livelihood too. So the very first thing you do is when the customer says, you've got to cut $500,000 out, you say, no problem. What options are we deleting?
Right. And that's the right thing. Why? I don't understand why that, you know, that would, some builders, that's your first response, like I said, to slash pricing. When instead of you asking, what options are you willing to forego? to get you to your budget. And again, I don't know if that's just rude to ask, but your time is valuable. Your employees are valuable. Your trades are valuable. So why would you move forward on that? That thought process.
What other business does that? You go to the grocery store and it rings up, it's $150, but you've got $100 in your pocket. Do they start negotiating the price and say, oh, well, we can come down on the milk and we can come down on this?
No, they start taking things off. They're subtracting those, you know, your magazine, your stuff. I mean, this is not like Aldi where you know, I'm on that ridiculous Facebook group, Aldi Out of Shape, and all these people that go through and, you know, someone gives them $20, you know, for their bill or whatever. That's not real life.
Very rare, right?
Right.
So that's not the real answer. The real answer is, what are we going to skim back? What are we going to do away with? Because there's a lot of things that you can do later. Things you don't skim on is windows, exterior doors,
insulation. You want to value engineer your home, but not take out the bones.
No, do the cabinets that you want. Do those things. Upgrade the appliances later. Upgrade to the beams. Upgrade to the decorated trim. Do the dry bar later. There are things you can do later to save money. Saving money should not be at the expense of us, our builder, or our trades.
But I think it's really dialing in on what the customer wants. And I think in your business, you do kind of a client intake form. Is that what it's called?
I'm not sure what we call it now, but yeah, it's very similar. It's just like a questionnaire. We get to know the client, what they're looking for, what's important to them. So we make sure that we're designing the home for them.
Right. So if you've got a client that's really interested in like Energy Star or self-sufficient, you know, things like that, what can you then put in your build that's valuable to them? Like an extra insulation package, blown-in insulation, all that kind of stuff, where if you don't put that on there, then that's an expense that they can forego.
That's right. So if Energy Star is important to them, then we're going to make sure we prioritize those items and say, okay, we need to make sure we prioritize this. But some of these other fancier things on the back end, the cosmetic stuff, you're going to have to leave that out if you want this.
Right, right. But you're trying to make that envelope what they need it to be.
Absolutely.
You're laying the groundworks for those things, whether today or tomorrow.
No different than the house that we built. The insulation, the 2x6 walls, everything that we did is all about sustainability and something that can be here for 40 years without missing a beat.
Right.
And you know, you cringed at the bill for the insulation, but when you see our energy bill is $120 a month for this size house, you're like, that's not that bad. It's less than our energy bill for the townhome that we own.
Right, right.
Interior townhome.
I mean, I get it.
That's crazy.
I'm like, what makes this shit so expensive? You know, because you look at it from a value proposition. It's like, it took this guy 4 hours to do this.
It's the material, though. Right. The material is stupid expensive.
It looks like a can of Fix-A-Flat.
It is. It was a ton of great stuff. Yeah. It was an entire moving van full of great stuff, and they were up there spraying it on the roof.
I feel like we live in an igloo.
Money well spent. But here's the deal. We have to get comfortable asking about the budget. If you're a remodeling contractor, if you're doing any type of contracting, I don't think it's wrong to ask about their budget. It's not wrong to ask them about their vision and just figure out if you're their guide. You need to understand what this stuff is. Customers are going to ask you questions. They're going to interview you. And if you're answering honestly and they get a really good vibe about you and you guys are connecting, it shouldn't be an issue. If you're a used car salesman and you're trying to take them for a ride, most of them are going to figure that stuff out.
I saw the funniest thing on Instagram. I think I shared it with you and I thought it was really cute. About a guy's like, you know, high-end design. You build a plan for a high-end buyer. And they don't really talk about budget, but it's like, and the buyer's like, looks great. When can we start? And then the flip side is you design something for someone who's a little more cost conscious. And it's like 18 to 20 edits later, they're trying to do this and this and this and this. And it's tough. And that's harsh, but at the same time, I think it's true. Something else I saw the other day about a woman who was on some sort of podcast and how she was talking about folks that value your content, value your input. They're willing to pay for what they perceive as, you know, the value that you bring. Those clients are happier. Mm-hmm. The projects are better.
Sure.
And the flip side is that the other buyers that are just, you know, terrible. They don't trust you.
That's right.
Right. They don't. Yeah. They come at it in this project with all of these preconceived notions that you're going to rip them off, that you're going to do the wrong thing. And it's a terrible, terrible relationship. And you know, why you feel like you've got to take that client. And I've been there before. We both have. Where you have eyes wide open, worked with a client that you knew that were going to be a nightmare. And they were going to be a time suck, you know, just
more than one
soul crushing, right? And those are the ones that you just, you look back on it and you can't believe that you felt that you were in that position that you had to do. But she was so right. Those people will never trust you.
So to summarize it in the easiest way to take away from this, people are one of three dogs. We all love dogs. Golden retrievers. Golden retrievers love everybody. Doesn't matter what you do, they love you. You've never met a golden retriever that hates people. They love people.
Okay.
Golden retrievers are the customers who love everything you're doing. You can't do anything wrong. We all love those customers. We don't always get them. Hounds. Hounds are kind of in the middle. They're like, I think I like this person, but I'm not sure. And you start to win them over with your content, with the way you're talking, your product, other things. You win them over to your side or you push them away.
Okay.
But the hounds are where you're really going to make your money. Those are the ones that we can really latch on to. And like we can have,
convert?
We can have raving fans from those individuals because when they convert and they're on your side, they are locked in and they're on your side, right? Through and through.
Okay.
And the last one is German Shepherds, which German Shepherds, they don't like anybody. And no offense to German Shepherds, right? So you can say put another dog in that category. But German Shepherds, they don't like anybody. Doesn't matter who you are, they don't like you.
Is it because they're police?
I didn't say that. This is not an anti-police show.
Oh. Because we know what you think about police.
Anyways, so German Shepherds don't like anybody. And if you can convert those individuals, you know, you've got another buyer. But those are the ones who are still on the fence and they're going to question things. They're going to challenge you and they're going to become very difficult. I think it's our job is sales individuals or guides to figure out what type of person are we dealing with? How do we advance with these individuals? Because the golden retrievers are going to jump in. They're all in. They're ready to sign the contract. The hounds, you're going to win them over. And the German Shepherds are going to wear your ass out. So you have to figure out who your clients are. So when the market's tough, we'll take whoever comes to the door. And we're going to do everything we can to convert that lead. But when the market is strong in our favor, you can say no to more of the German Shepherds.
I was thinking you were going to say like Chihuahua.
Chihuahua would fit. Yeah, that's a good
okay.
one.
Okay. All right.
You picked the third dog.
Okay.
I didn't pick the third dog. I heard this on a course that I'm using.
Oh, really? It was those three dogs. I thought you were just making it up.
No, I didn't make it up.
Well, where are Aussie girls?
They're probably in the middle.
I don't know. They're couch potatoes. They don't have any money.
These two are. That's our discussion on budget. I would love to hear anybody's feedback on how do you get people to their budget? What do they intend to spend? And then this goes for production and custom. Because production, yeah, you might say it's $450,000 for the house, but you know you've got to go through the selections room, through the design center. Do you have the potential to upsell $100,000 or is their budget $50,000 or is it $25,000? Knowing what that budget is will help you ensure that they're getting the things that they really want. So when they're done and they build that house, they're like, I love it. Versus, I really like it, but I didn't get the things I absolutely had to have.
Right. Or if you were in the position that you used to do, like slash your prices to, you know, to get that next job. And then however the years you've like pivoted, right?
Yes.
You know your worth.
That's correct.
You don't want to short sell yourself. I would love to hear from those folks.
Yeah, because I know those are out there.
You know, or are you still short selling yourself? And then don't do it.
That's fine too. If you are, let's talk about it and let's see like how's it benefiting your business? How's it benefiting your people? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. But budget is important. You can't design or build a home if you don't know what the budget is. I can build you whatever you want if you have the right amount of money.
But I tell people you can have whatever you want.
Vision and budget are tightly wound together.
and sometimes they don't align.
They don't always align. And I think they don't always align because we're afraid to ask. So let's dig into that budget thing. Let's hear back from you. Till next week.
See ya.
Later.